If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Both times they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Start of the Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Barrett, and Sandra Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling.
What's going on, guys?
Excited, man. Last night, a little NCAA basketball, both man and woman. I'm excited, and we're down to the Final Four, guys. I'm so excited because this is really when it gets the best. Got Gonzaga versus UCLA today, this weekend. Sorry about that. Then you got Baylor and Houston on the other side, and I can't wait to see who comes out of both sides. Sander, UCLA is the only guy standing in front of Gonzaga winning this tournament. You think UCLA got the chance, or you think the Zagas are going to win the whole thing?
Well, do the Sharks swim in water? Absolutely not. I don't have UCLA having no chance against Gonzaga. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful story that, you know, they've been able to make it this far. UCLA is a great coach team. But I'm sorry, man. I talked about Gonzaga's strength of skill being the weakest in the entire tournament of all the ones. And they've proven me that they've been able to play against the big boys. I said that they needed to be tested, and they've been tested, and they've passed every test, haven't scored less than 80 points in all the games of this tournament so far. Some games they've reached over 90. So when it comes to who can score, that whole team can score. And when it comes to defense, they can lock dudes up, shut people down. They held Oklahoma to under 80 points. They held Creighton, one of the hottest teams in the entire tournament, to believe it or not. Creighton was ranked number five, and they were supposed to be one of the biggest problems for Gonzaga, and they shut that down with over a 20-point win. And this just looked scary. That boy Timmy in paint, he doesn't look like a typical NBA center, NBA front court guy, but he could ball. He could play. And these guys, they play as a team, man. Gonzaga really said they're going to run the table, man. And I don't see UCLA. I definitely don't see Houston, even though Houston has been really good this tournament. I don't see Houston having the firepower to put up against the team Gonzaga. Baylor is the only team that, you know, everybody talks about the three guys, you know, Butler, Teagan, Mitchell, all averaging over 10 plus a game. You know, it's really the only team that could possibly give the Zags some problems. But when I look at the Zags, you know, one through five, they're all, you know, three starters. These are guys been together for a while. And sometimes when it comes to these tournaments, the players, the teams that have spent the most time together often, you know, win more and, you know, they make it farther. So Gonzaga, I think right now with the teams that are remaining left, I think they're just going to run the table. I don't see none of the teams that are left being able to beat Gonzaga. And I was a big critic of them because of their strength schedule being, you know, so weak. And they've been able to prove me wrong. And I got to give it up to them. I got to give them credit where it's due. They've been able to handle business. And I just see them moving forward past the Final Four and possibly being the first undefeated team to win it in a very long time. I don't know about you, Pride, but Gonzaga looks legit, man. And I got to give it up.
So to answer your question, is Gonzaga the clear favorite? There's just no debate. They're the clear favorite. I've said this before, the tournament is Gonzaga's to lose. Like, if they lose it, it's not that the team beat them, it's the Gonzaga beat themselves. For the Final Four, the rankings, I have it Gonzaga 1, Baylor 2, maybe Houston 2, maybe, and then UCLA 4. And it's kind of mean to say that, but, you know, UCLA – it sounds crazy because if you look at the seeding, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're the 11th seed. So, like, no one's really giving them, like, by far, no one's giving them any type of chance at all to even beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga in transition, they're deadly. These boys will run you off the court, and that's very impressive because you don't see a lot of college teams with this type of cardio where they'll have four fast breaks back to back, and they're barely sweating, which honestly it's very impressive for them. I'm not even going to waste my time throwing stats out. Because the one thing that Gonzaga has that is like triumphs over everybody else is just the fact that these dudes play with no pressure. Like, literally, there's so much pressure on these boys, bro. Like, so everyone's talking about how they had this undefeated season, right? And at first, I was like, that doesn't sound right to me. So I actually had to look it up. I really did, because I was curious. Like, they were chatting about it. And the last team that went undefeated in their season and then ran, like, went through the whole tournament and won it was a 1976 Indiana Hoosiers. So this is something that's, like, hasn't been done in, like, a long, long time.
We wasn't born.
Yeah, and but if you just watch how these boys ball, it's like they don't care. It's like they're ignoring history. They don't care. They're like, look, man, if that's history, cool, but we don't care. We are here to get the chip. And that's kind of an advantage they have because I've seen Baylor, I wouldn't say crack under pressure, but I have seen them feel it. UCLA, yeah, they just don't have the talent to be up there. Same thing with Houston. It's like same thing with Baylor. You've seen them kind of when it starts pushing back, they kind of panic a little bit, but granted, they were able to – the Baylor and Houston was able to contain themselves. But Gonzaga is just different, bro. Like, these dudes just don't care. Like, they – like, bro, it's just nuts to me, bro. They're playing, like, composed. They're playing smart. It's just – like I said, bro, the tournament is Gonzaga's to lose 110%.
That kid Suggs is a problem. That kid Suggs, Jalen Suggs, is a problem.
Yeah, man. Honestly, it's Gonzaga's going to scrape the field. I feel like that. And I remember a few shows ago, guys, I had talked about, like, because the pressure is on Gonzaga, I really feel like as the tournament went further, maybe the pressure was going to mount. But, bro, you nailed it. These guys are playing like they're legit. Like, history is not even in the making. Like, they just playing and they just beating people. They had USC coming up, and they're honestly their biggest challenge to that tournament game. And they had them by 20 for the most game. And I think that only helped the confidence of this team moving forward because let's call it what it is. UCLA is a whole bunch of overachievers. They won two overtime games to get where they're at. Nobody expected them to beat Alabama, but they did. You know, Alabama just was too much in their heads and missed too many three-pointers and free throws, and they just capitalized. You know, but I give them credit. You know, they are where they are. And on the other side, if it's not Baylor, I'm not worried about Gonzaga because I just feel like they just match up too well against Houston and Baylor. They're the more complete team that will give them the most problems in sense of matchup skills, you know. And maybe Baylor has a little grudge against, you know, the girls got knocked out on a cheap UConn blocking foul that maybe they want to, like, have, like, this revenge. Like, don't worry, we got it. We're still in the tournament. So maybe there's a little school pride involved in that. But you guys are right. It's really Gonzaga's tournament to lose. And at the moment, they look unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Right. And they unstoppable is not even the word, bro. Like, it's very rare that you have, like, a consensus. Like, usually there's, like, two or three schools that people pick from the beginning. It's just, like, from the beginning, it was, like, Gonzaga. And then they were like, okay, if I'm – you know you're the favorite. When people go, okay, if I'm forced to pick someone else, and then they start naming other schools. When they start saying that, that's how you know you're the overwhelming
favorite. And, with that point being said, it's like you don't got Duke or Kansas in the way. Like, if it's not now, it's never.
Definitely. 110%. Like, this is right now is, like, their best opportunity. And they're taking advantage of it. And now the question is gonna start being proposed. Like, let's say next year Duke and Kentucky make it. Are we sure we want to still call them the favorites? Because, again, Gonzaga is playing like there's so much pressure, and the pressure's not phasing them at all. They're stepping up. They're rising to the occasion. If I can use a baseball terminology, they're hitting this thing 450 dead center, and they're trotting the base just chilling, bro. You know what I mean? So it's in the future, this is going to bring up some questions because now next year, are we sure you don't want to put Gonzaga in, like, the top five? Because that's definitely going to be the question next year if they end up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I was gonna touch on that, JJ. You put it right there. Kentucky and Duke are not in the tournament this year. So really, I feel like once that happened, a team like Gonzaga that had pressure in coming into the tournament, being undefeated and possibly facing one of those what they call them, the big blue teams, those blue teams like Duke and Kentucky, were they gonna crack under the pressure possibly facing before they even get to the Final Four? But once those two teams went down, I feel like they probably were relieved a little bit that they didn't have that pressure. And you said it well, Pride. They're playing game by game. They're taking it game by game. They're not even worried about the pressure.
Yeah. you know, I think another thing that Gonzaga has for them is that, let's say, in fact, they do win the tournament, maybe these four-star, five-guy recruits that would normally go to Duke or Kansas or Michigan State or whatever, maybe they're like, Gonzaga might be the new place to be now. You know what I mean? Like, everything just seems to be going well for them. Maybe the perception of their school could change. Who knows, guys? But I want to transition to the NFL, guys, because another day, it seems like another charge goes against Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, and the allegations now are up to 21, guys. You know, I remember probably one day you're like, the over and under is going to be around maybe like close to 25. It doesn't look like you were off by a lot now. Like, it's looking fairly close to that number, you know?
Yeah, I think I had the over under 24.5, and I'm still taking bets on that. At this rate, bro, I'm going to be a millionaire.
That's what I'm saying. You got something going, so put some chips in that. But, you know, still a guy that might be available to a lot of teams, Pride. And, you know, franchise guys don't come available. If you got a guy like Deshaun Watson, you got to go get him. But with all these allegations, do you think that teams should continue pursuing him, or they should fall back a little bit?
Well, I'm not going to say fall back. Well, kind of. So it's kind of weird because right now we're entering he said, she said type of deal. There's no proof. There's no evidence. They say there's evidence, and then they're saying, oh, it was deleted. So there's a lot of stuff. If I'm running a team, I'm falling back, and I'm waiting for the NFL investigation to do its thing, because the last thing I want is to give up, mortgage my future around this young man, and then he ends up being suspended. Because now I'm just going to look at myself, and I'm just going to be like, you know what? I deserve it. There, you know, so now the Deshaun's lawyer did come out and say, since I think there's like 20 – at this point, there's 21 counts against Deshaun right now. He came out and said, oh, well, here's 18 masseuses who say they had nothing but a positive experience with him. So then I really sat down. Because at first I was kind of teetering on this, right? Because I was like, you know. But then I did the math, right? 21 plus 18, okay? There's no way you should have that many masseuses. Let's just call it what it is, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting to a point where it's like this dude is just trying to mathematically break the system. Like, there's no point to be having all that. But the lawyer did say they have 18 masseuses who says that, you know, it's no big deal. So this is now the question. Are any of the NFL teams confident in what that lawyer said? Because if you come out and say, oh, yeah, 18 people. Well, Jared, I'm not going to say it makes it better because the allegations are still there. We still don't know if it's true. But remember, this is a league where they will give you a second chance. Greg Hardy, he got a second chance. Richie Incognito, he got a second chance. Mike Vick, he had a second chance. So I feel like with Deshaun, they might if I run a team in any way, shape, or form, I'm waiting for the investigation to finish up, to wrap up, let their lawsuits figure out so that way I can have – I might not have the whole story, but let me at least go based on what he does. Let me have some sort of trail I can walk through so that way I can now make my move accordingly. So, but it's going to be interesting because – again, if I was running a team, I wouldn't be desperate. There are plenty of desperate teams who won't care. And they would be like, even if, let's say the lawyer didn't say anything, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the Cleveland Browns, right now they're panicking. They go, oh, yeah, we'll give you Baker and we'll take Deshaun. Because, again, Cleveland Browns ain't an organization that does smart things. Like, they proved it time and time again, but they don't do smart things. So if they panic, it is a possibility. If I'm running a team, I'm 110% waiting. I'm relaxing. He said every new touchdown, he gets a new receiver. That's what it seems like, my guy. That's what it seems like. 110%, bro. That's what it seems like. The thing with the NFL investigation, it's weird. They're not investigating it alone. What they're basically doing, they labeled it an investigation, but they're really just waiting for the lawsuits to be over and done with, and then they're going to basically do something. So now that kind of is a little weird because let's say Deshaun says, okay, I don't care. And now this lawsuit ends up going 2, 3, 4 years. How do you play then? Which is what most of the teams are kind of concerned about because they're like, look, if we end up taking this kid and then he ends up being guilty, not only is that a whole PR nightmare we're going to have to go through, but then more likely than not, they're probably going to consider cutting him. And on top of that, if he serves a suspension, they're still going to have to pay him because they can't cut him if he's suspended. They're not going to be able to because there's no jail time. If he was going to jail, that's one thing. But since they can't really cut him because there's no jail time, it's going to be kind of tricky. So this is definitely an awkward situation is like the best way to put it. Yeah, I'm hit right there. Yeah, it's way too risky. But 110% though, y'all saying y'all not taking a chance, and I get it. Like I said, I won't take that chance. But it just takes that one desperate team to pick up that phone. And once that one desperate team picks up that phone, that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter what all what let's say because Houston's out. It doesn't matter what 29 team thinks. It just matters what one team thinks. So maybe that one guy, that one G panics, picks up the phone and goes, "Yo, I'll take him." But if I'm running a team, I'm waiting. I'll go ahead. I'll go 0-16. I'll live with that. So that way I'll put him on a back burner for a year just to figure out what's going on before I make my final decision.
Well, Pride, you may speak points, but if I'm honest, quite frankly, thank you, Deshaun Watson, for you're an incredible talent, but I'm not touching you with a 10-yard stick. I'm staying away, please. I understand that these are all trials, and like you said, he say, she say. Nonetheless, these are allegations. I touched on it before when we talked about the Deshaun Watson thing, that they're serious allegations at the end of the day. When we first started this topic, it was about 3-4 alleged masseuses at the time. Then it got to 7. Then it got to 8. At that point, we were like, you know, are they corroborating a story? I touched on the lawyer friends and buddy-buddy with the owner. But then 12 came out. Then 15, 17, 19. Now we're at 21. Are we really going to hear and be like 21 women are lying? And I'm just not for it right now. Like, I think we're in a day and age where if they're all saying the same exact thing, you guys say plenty of time. If it walks like a quacks like a duck, it's not a bird. It's not a chicken. It's a duck. Something's there. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I'm really not. I understand NFL players giving second chances all the time. But something in the serious matter like this, when it comes to sexual assault, I don't believe that has any place in the NFL at whatever. And honestly, I don't think a team will give them a chance when this is over. This is to the point where, I'm sorry, man, no matter where you go, you're going to carry that baggage. And a player like Deshaun Watson is that position quarterback, you're the face of that team. And if your face of the team is a guy who has over 20 plus alleged sexual accounts and he's going to Insta for masseuses instead of to his team, is that a guy that you really want to run your team to be the leader of your team? I'm sorry. Watson put himself in this position. Look at Watson, give him as a ghost gun. He's legit a ghost gun. He's a gun with scratched off serial numbers. You don't know where that gun's been. You don't know what that gun has done. You don't know the bodies are on it. Honestly, regardless of where this goes, this is always going to be a stain on Deshaun Watson, no matter what. Because I'm sorry, maybe one or two girls are lying, maybe, but I'm going to sit here and believe and put in a situation that 20 plus girls are lying. So, if I'm any NFL team, I'm not touching this. Even when this is over, Deshaun Watson, he could deserve a second chance. Of course, I wouldn't be the one to give it to him. I'm sorry. And he could probably find a team somewhere that's better. I'm pretty sure at this point, Houston would take that. But they want to get rid of the situation themselves. But, you know, yo, Deshaun Watson, after all this, I'm sorry, but I feel like his career is possibly over after this. I don't see him coming back from this.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I definitely appreciate the Urban Dictionary lesson. Scud gun, word of the day.
Ghost gun.
That was a good one. But, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to be corporate America. I'm going to be a businessman. Deshaun Watson is in the business of winning football games. And if I can have his rights for the next 5 years, I'm going to have him and I'm going to deal with this problem. Because to me, sure, it might bring a little bad stain on the franchise name. But if he wins games, people will quickly forget that. And number 4 Watson jerseys will sell like hotcakes on a summer day. Because we all know he's the caliber of player that he is. You know, he's arguably a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the league at the moment, and definitely a top 2 guy when it comes to the younger guys that are coming up. If you're not grabbing him, you're grabbing Mahomes, but you're not going to grab Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Mayfield before you grab Deshaun Watson, right? He's that good. He's a guy that you can't have on your franchise. And even if he does have this stain on him, I feel like he's the guy that he's always been good at the camera, at the stand. Like, he knows how to play that role. He's not a person, like, I don't want to throw dirt on Baker Mayfield, but he's not erratic like he is, if you guys understand that saying. Like, you don't know what you're going to get out of Baker every game after a game. Deshaun, he kind of got like that Peyton Manning special where you just kind of just know he's going to go in there, say the correct thing, go in, go out. And maybe that's why this such a surprise to us. Like you said, Sander, 12, 13, 15. Now we're at 20. It's like, like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. And this obviously can't just be a one or two person coincidence at this point, Pride. But like I said, I'm cool with America. I want Deshaun Watson on my team to win football games because at the end of the day, 20 years from now, that's where people are going to remember or people will forget this if he ends up being successful past this chapter in his life.
But true, JJ, are you willing to trade? Are you willing to make a trade though for Deshaun Watson and give up all your stuff, like Pride and him being suspended, worse, him being convicted, pleading guilty to this, and now you lost Deshaun Watson because you know the NFL is going to suspend him, so you're going to do your future and take all that risk for a player where guys like San Francisco built a team around Jimmy Garoppolo and took a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. So you can win without a talent like Deshaun Watson. I understand he's generational, but you don't need to risk your entire franchise, your whole future for him at all.
I get it, and we're not there yet, so I'm not concerned about that. Like I said, once I have Deshaun Watson, I'll deal with the good problem. And that's really what it is. If I'm a businessman, if I own this team, I want him to be whatever team I represent, because at the end of the day, his talent is going to overlook that if he ends up being back on the field, Pride, and he's going to win games, like I said.
I don't fully disagree with you. My concern is if I take him and then he gets suspended. That's my issue. Because I'm not in the mood to take a dude. And then, because remember, he's got a killer contract. He's got a killer contract.
I will not take Lamar Jackson over Deshaun Watson.
We already know my thoughts on Lamar, so I'm not jumping on that train.
Go ahead.
110% I'm taking Watson. But Jared did make a good comment before he said the Ryan Leaf one. He said a fifth round, cash considerations, and a player to be named later. Now, the reason that definitely is something crucial is because with this, his stock is going low. So maybe you can now get him for a steal. So that way, now instead of having to get, like, so let's say for like the Bears, right? If he's going to the Bears, Khalil Mack almost definitely has to be in that deal one way or another. But now that you're getting him on the low, maybe you could just dump off one of your corners. Maybe. I mean, but right now with his stock going low because of these allegations, you can get him cheap. And Jaden, you're not wrong about the whole corporate America thing. And, you know, I mean, look, he a baller. No matter what way we cut it, he definitely a baller. And if I'm running a team, I'm not mad at you. I don't knock you for it. My concern is if he gets suspended, I'm still forced to write the checks because that contract is, if I'm not mistaken, fully guaranteed. If I'm not mistaken, if I'm wrong, JJ, please check me. But last time I read it, it was fully guaranteed. So if he gets suspended while he's home going, whatever, I got no jail time and I just pay this and it moves on, I'm still have to write that check for him. So that's really my only concern. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm the Bears, you're not close. No, I'm not saying they would. I'm just saying if the Bears were going to talk about Watson, there's no way Texans are going to – they're going to obviously have to start with Khalil Mack. I mean, who else are they going to start with? I just pulled it out as an example, but I'm with you. If I'm the Bears, I definitely don't do that trade. But I don't blame you for thinking that way, JJ. I don't blame you at all. He's like, I got sparkle buffer. Look, man, look, there's talent that comes once in a lifetime. And like I said, I ain't going to pull the trigger yet. But my fingers, I'm twitching, bro. I'm twitching, JJ. Everything you said, I am not against you. I'm just saying, bro, if I'm a millionaire, I'm trying to be a billionaire. So I ain't going to write checks for a dude that's going to be suspended on my watch. So let me, as long as he don't get suspended, well, I'll take him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like I said, though, Deshaun Watson don't grow on trees. And if you can have him on your team, that's a good problem if he's a problem. But we'll have to wait for that. But I'm so excited, guys, because baseball is here tomorrow, and I cannot wait because I feel like it just waited too long. I hate when it gets too cold because that means the baseballs go out, and I'm half Dominican. It's the stereotype is true. I love baseball. I wish good at baseball so I could play baseball for a living, but that's not the case. But, you know, I'm excited, Sander. You know, opening day is around the corner, and the Dodgers are ready to defend their crown. A lot of teams made a lot of moves in the offseason. We saw what San Diego did. They're knocking downstairs like, hey, we're trying to be the new team in L.A. So let me ask you, Sander, you think who's the biggest threat to the Dodgers in this upcoming season?
JJ, this upcoming is going to be live. The past 2-3 seasons, we've been spoiled with a lot of great young talent coming up in the league. You know, we got the Ozunias, the Acuñas. We got Tatis. We got Vlad Jr., all these young talents, Gleyber Torres. Baseball is becoming, you know, I think it's coming back. I think it's coming back with a lot of these young stars. They give them props. They won their first championship in my lifetime. They ain't won a championship until I was the whole time I was alive, till, you know, just recently. So I'm giving them props, you know, congratulations. But guess what? It's a new season. It's a long season, too. And we got teams that revamped. You talked about it just now, the Padres talking about, hey, we're here too. We're trying to build something too. You know, the San Diego Chargers left them. So now San Diego is Padre town. So, you know, they picked Darvish in the offseason. They got Blake Snell coming off, you know, that Tampa Bay debacle, taking the ball away from him when he was dominating. You know, Blake Snell got a bone to pick with the team. Absolutely. Blake Snell has a bone to pick. And I think that he's going to come in this season, and he's going to, you know, put the league on notice. Like, he's probably going to make another Cy Young run. I believe he's one of the runners for the Cy Young award. But we can't forget about the Nationals either, guys. The Nationals is a team that, you know, they had a bug last season. Lindor won at $400 million, $300 million. So, I mean, I think the only reason why he turned that down is because, you know, I don't think he really wants to be a Met. That's just me personally. You know, the Nationals, guys, we Scherzer and Strasburg come back. Scherzer, you know, he took a little dip last season. The Nationals didn't play as well as they were supposed to. But, you know, they're still here. They're coming back healthy. I like Patrick Corbin. That's a really good number three for them. He's a number one on most teams. So the Nationals are no one to sneeze at, of course. You got the New York Yankees. This is my team. I have beating the LA Dodgers. Yes, it's in the World Series, but because I don't see no one in the NL really putting up a fight, because the Dodgers have been together. They've done it here. They know what it is. These teams in the National League, besides the Nationals that I have, you know, possibly giving the Dodgers a run for the money, the Padres, on paper, they're stacked, but it's on paper. They haven't played together yet. So you know what you're getting from the podcast. You know, Tatis is a superstar, but he's hurt. You got Manny Machado coming off a season where Tatis, the young bull, was getting on, and he was supposed to be the main guy. So, you know, I just want to know how that works out during the season. And they got that kid, Ha-Sung Kim. He was, you know, the top prospect coming out of Japan. Pick him up, and some people have voted. Some people say that he's the best infielder in baseball right now. And when you look at them on paper, they look good. But we got mid through the season, little way season, how they look playing. And, you know, the biggest threat is my New York Yankees. Guys, if we look at that New York Yankee rotation, we got Roman coming back. We got Cole coming back. We have, hopefully, Severino coming back healthy. When you look at that 1-2-3, Devi Garcia coming back, what's that 1-3? And Devi Garcia, he was set down. But I'm pretty sure he's talented enough where by midseason we'll see him in the pen starting for the Yankees. I believe him.
We'll be back.
Yeah. The Yankees right now, guys, this is the time to win. This is the time to win, especially in the American League East, the way it is right now. Boston is missing guys. Tampa Bay have Snell anymore, and obviously I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be able to repeat the Tampa Bay that they've been before. And Boston, they're missing the Orioles. You know, what's to talk about the Orioles here? Come on, now we dominate those guys. Blue Jays are the only guys that are really give us a run, but I don't put too much stock in the Blue Jays. Really trust their pitching at all. So if there's any year to win it right now for the Yankees, it's this year. If we can't win it this year, well, I'm sorry. I don't see us next year because, you know, another year of age and nutrition that goes, you know, it goes a long time. It goes a long way when it comes to baseball. These seasons are long, you know, players get hurt all the time. Aaron Judge has been one. He bit from the injury bug a few times. Depending on health, if the Yankees can stay healthy, I think the only team that could really give the LA Dodgers a chance to lose. This is the only team because if you look at the National League on paper, the Dodgers are stacked well above any team. You look at the Yankees in the American League, right now, this is the time for the Yankees to win. Houston is not what they used to be. They're not as scary as they was before. They lost Jordan. They lost Springer. As Correa is a sign for what they offered him. You know, I think there's a little bit of confusion coming out of Houston. I don't think they're going to be the powerhouse that they were before. If there's any team to dethrone the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's the New York Yankees.
So just real quick, yeah, I just want to touch up on, I forgot who it was. Someone asked if Lindor's crazy for wanting 400 mil. I don't think he's crazy for that. I don't think so. Now, the reason I say he's not crazy is just because me personally, I think at worst he a top five shortstop in this league. At worst. He's a bona fide baller. He's young. He can only get better. So I get it. I get why. I'm not going to call him crazy. For wanting 400 mil, I'm gonna call him crazy if he expects that any team's gonna throw that at him without some negotiation. If that's the case, then yeah, I'm definitely gonna call him crazy. But if not, I'm not gonna say crazy for wanting that. But to answer your question, JJ, so everyone nowadays, like when you ask that question, right, it's always the generic thing, right? It's either San Diego or it's the Yankees, right? I was like, you know what? I want to be that dude, right? Where I wouldn't just, I'm going to say a team. I'm going to have everyone look at me funny. Then if it doesn't happen, I just can fall off on the whole, hey, I was just taking the long shot of long shots. But if I'm right, you know, I can brag about it. You feel me? So I'm kind of kicking myself in a position where it's a win-win regardless. So for the National League, dare I say, and the only reason I'm saying this is because I love this dude to death, bro. I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know, man. Molina, he's getting up there in age, and that's the thing everyone's saying. And he's still doing his thing, bro. He's still doing his thing. Adam Wainwright, yeah, he had a iffy year, but I feel like he's going to be able to bounce back. Obviously, you got Nolan. And again, I get it, because ever since he got traded, no one talked about him. But it's time to stop acting like Paul Goldschmidt is a bum. It's just crazy. He got traded, and then all of a sudden, he's garbage. I'm like, nah, bro, this dude is a top baseman in this league. Homeboy, he's got a glove, and he's got a bat. Their last year, the average for the pitching staff, like ERA, was 4.44.
Did Arenado go to St. Louis too, or am I thinking
about? Yes, he went there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, but like, I love watching Nolan. I love watching him, bro. So I'm just leaping on a faith. Last year, the average that pitchers gave up was 4.44. The Cardinals, they gave up less than that. It was like 3.9 they were giving up. So now you got Paul Goldschmidt, who was he batted over 300. Yadi, who was like, I think it was like a 270. You know what I mean? You got guys like that. And then you're plugging Nolan in there. I don't know, man. And on top of that, Colton Wong had a solid year. If I'm going to go on a limb, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to interpret your question differently and basically name some dark horses. So in terms of the NL, I'm going to take a shot and I'm going to say the Cardinals. Now, in terms of the AL, this is just me. I feel like I'm out here to get somebody mad. You feel me? That's my goal. You know what I mean? Like, you feel me? So I feel like ever since Houston cheated, everyone was saying, oh, that they should have never won. And I'm here to say this, and I will say this in my dying breath. Cheating or not, they were going to win. They were going to win that year. I don't care what nobody says. I will throw my head. They were a great team, which is what sucks about it, that they had to cheat, because I'm like, yo, imagine if they didn't cheat, bro. You know what I mean? But now, Altuve had a year. I'm going to categorize it as that. I think he bounced back. I think Alvarez, Jordan Alvarez, the dude who they're fiending for, bro. Who they're like, oh yeah, he's gonna be our DH of the future. Woo! Have you seen him hit, bro? I don't know who hits harder, him hitting a ball or Francis Ngannou hitting Stipe. I don't know which is harder, bro, but they both are hard, bro. I'm telling you, this dude, I'm loving
where he wasn't too great in the playoffs, but he was tearing up the regular season for sure.
Yeah, yeah, which I feel like this is where I'm kind of going with it. I think this is going to be their bounce back year. I think last year it was just like it wasn't really discombobulation. It was just like Altuve was probably feeling some type of way. He was mad because people were trying to take away his MVP, which, again, if he didn't cheat, that would have happened. But, you know, I just feel like they were kind of going through their looks. You know what I mean? They were hitting their looks.
Another big factor, if I could just cut in, they lost Verlander for the year, too. They're going to get him back.
Right, which is why I'm saying, like, if I'm not – that's why I'm talking about the Astros. They're going to have to rely heavily on their bats. Heavily, more heavy. Like, granted, they always had great bats, but now they're gonna have to like rely on it. Because on top of that, Zach Greinke is getting up there in age, and at any point, he could go down. Because he's kind of giving you that type of history. So, you know, I'm basically relying on their bats to pick up. People say George Springer left, but that dude, Kyle Tucker, I think his name is. He's. I think he could fill in that role. Now, you don't need a dude to be an all-star, but you just need a serviceable glove. Have the guy hit like 230 and 240, and that's good enough. You don't need him to be George Springer. You just need a dude that's solid. And I'm just gonna go on a limb here. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just being a cornball. But I think Alex Bregman is gonna do his thing. He's gonna have a solid year. And Correa in his final year, because this is his, after this year he can walk, right? So he kind of wants to prove to the Houston and the entire MLB world that, bro, well, the contract I want, I deserve. He giving me 30 dingers, bro. 450, dead center. You're gonna see it up to three times a game in the corner right now. 30? Same thing with Alvarez. I'm telling you, bro, they gonna make the playoffs, bro.
You'll bet 30 M&Ms on 30 home runs.
Oh, we're doing. Give me Skittles and I'm in there. Give me Skittles and I'm in there like double.
He won't hit 30.
How about this? Let's play this game. Over under. I got 29.5. I got over. What's you under?
No, the number flat 30.
Flat 30. Damn, it's like taking Kim money from.
I'm making like power Skittles.
You about to make me buy a Houston jersey just to spite you now? Oh yeah, we in here, bro. I'm telling you, bro. Correa gonna hit 30, and so is Alvarez. I think Jordan Alvarez is gonna have a phenomenal year. I just have a feeling that Houston, they might start off a little shaky, but at the instant those bats start clicking, they're gonna ride that. They're gonna ride that momentum. They're gonna ride that fire deep. And you know what I mean? I'm telling you, bro. Look, I get it, but remember, Clayton Kershaw in the world, like the World Series he was won, he wasn't spectacular. So you know what I mean? That's something a lot of people try to say that, oh yeah, he finally got the monkey off his back. No, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, they won it, but that's why they brought Trevor Bauer on board. Because now what they're gonna do, because this is what you're gonna see a lot of, and especially in the World Series, you're gonna see Clayshaw being more kind of what we did with David Price when we won the World Series. We pulled him out of rotation, and we had him make like relief appearances or even close a couple. That's what they're going to start doing with Kershaw. That's why you kind of see them loading up their starting rotation. So that way, now there's really no pressure on Clayton to do his thing. Now you can just be like, yo, Clayton, go give me two innings, go give me three innings. He doesn't have to set the tone. You know what I mean? Like, the tone's already going to be set. He'll come in like the sixth, seventh inning, do a little bit of work, and he'll be fine. So, but yeah, if you're gonna make me pick, bro, NL, the dark horse, I got the Cardinals, and yeah, I got the cheating Houston Astros in the AL.
Great cases, guys. Really do. You know who I think is the biggest threat to LA. I think the only way that LA doesn't repeat is if they don't do what they have to do. If injuries get in the way, or guys like Trevor Bauer just underperform, because you mentioned the guy that's really important to me, and it's Clayton Kershaw, and I feel like a lot of, you know, his meltdowns, if you want to call them that, I think it was the pressure of being as great as he is, because he's arguably a top five, top 10 in the last decade. You can't put him anywhere worse than that. He's an all-time great. But a lot of those meltdowns, I think, came at the price of not winning the ring yet. So I think that now that he has won that, Maybe we see a more loose, more free flow in Clayton Kershaw that could pitch without that stress of, I'm all-time great, but I still don't got it. Because the Dodgers went out. They went and got Mookie Betts. They went and go get Trevor Bauer. So, like, you know, they're suited to be good for the next, at least the next, including last year, at least for a 3-4 year window. Like, they're like the prime team. And like I said, I think the only threat to them is just themselves, because I don't see the field that impressive. You know, like you mentioned, Sander, the Padres did all these moves, and it's impressive. Still on paper. I love the Yankees. I do a show about the Yankees on the roll call. You know, I wish I could pick them to be a favorite, but there's always too many questions with them. The injuries have always caught up to us, and for some reason this team, this, like you said, this has to be the year, because right now the guys are just getting older, and the other teams, like the Dodgers, are getting better. So it's like those two factors are in the way of the Yankees' success. And I think the Astros can make a good comeback. You know, they have the championship pedigree and the culture set that even in last year, they were in the championship round. You know what I mean? Like, I remember conversations of, what if they make it to the World Series after this whole scandal and just tells everybody to suck it? We're good. You guys didn't – we didn't need no trash cans. Yeah, the trash cans is what they were saying, but they didn't. They lost. Nonetheless, and we got the Dodgers to be the champs. But that's a real case scenario that could happen. You know, they're still a good team. But like I said, I don't see the field as impressive as I see the Dodgers at the moment. So LA is their own biggest threat.
You actually did touch up on a great point about like that whole Clayton Kershaw thing about now that he's got that chip, maybe we do see some a little looser Kershaw. That is a possibility. To be honest, I actually didn't even think about that. It is possible that the reason was because he never overcame the moment. It seems like he's one of those dudes that if I haven't done it, can I really do it type of dude, where in his mind, he's like, yeah, I'm great, but I never did this. I'm great, but I never did that. So that is a good point where it is possible. Maybe since he did win the ring, it is possible that now we're going to – and even maybe he doesn't even care anymore. Now, I don't know about you, but an all-time great pitcher who pitches like they don't care is, to me, one of the scariest things a batter can face. And that's just because you're so used to, okay, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Because sometimes you can break a pitcher down, especially when you're a batter with a high IQ, you're able to break it up. But when you have an all-time great who just doesn't care, you're going to see a whole bunch of different stuff. And especially when he starts pitching relaxed, he starts pitching loose. It's definitely going to be different. And it's going to be nice. How does he react when he gives up that first run? Because that's usually what rattles him. When he gives up that first run, you kind of see him grit his teeth and start twitching and start getting upset. So maybe if he gives up that first run, he'll just kind of shrug it off and be like, you know what? It is what it is. And a pitcher like that on Clayton Kershaw's level, man, that's extremely dangerous.
And Sander, you know, you also have guys like Mookie Betts now that, you know, he had pressure going into free agency. Like, I just left the championship caliber team in Boston. Now I got to come deliver in LA. He delivered. I feel like he got that monkey off his back. He's like, yo, I told y'all I was going to come here. I was going to make us – I was the missing piece. And even that happened. So I feel like even a guy like him now has that free agency stress off of him. So, like, what's stopping this team, man?
I hear on that, but – when there's one team and they wouldn't even have to worry about them until the World Series. That's all I'm saying. I know you said the Houston Astros pride, but I just don't think that another year, you know, the year of Verlander's not 29, 30 years old. Verlander's an older pitcher. He's an older guy who's usually relying on strength to, you know, for that 95 plus fastball. That's not the case anymore with him. And usually pitchers, when they rely on their strength and stuff like that, when they become older, it's not about location. And I don't see a guy who gets older like Verlander being able to put up the great numbers that he once did. Offenses are getting younger, better, and I just think he's just getting a little lower. Each year that passes, he's losing another step. I know he's great and all that, but I think just – another year like this, attrition is probably going to take a toll on Houston Astros. The Houston Astros, they're not together, though. I know they lost Jordan Springer, and it may not seem like that much big of a loss, but Jordan Springer was a rock to that team. You know, he had the cool to a lot of those players. He's definitely Jose Altuve's one of Jose Altuve's right-hand man. You know, Correa, If I feel like if Jordan Springer was still on this team, Carrera wouldn't be having issues of wanting to be paid. He would understand that for the greater good of the team instead of myself. Jordan Springer, I think not being there, it shows, you know, I think they lost a little bit of leadership. His career is now asking for top dollars, and I think Houston is going to give it to him. So that's probably another player gone. Now all you're banking on is Jose Altuve, who's coming off, like you said, a year, and Alex Bregman, who the season before the season, he had an MVP caliber season. This season that just passed, I ain't really see that much. But, you know, maybe they this season. But I just don't see. I think right now the Yankees are primed. They're getting their rotation back 100%. And if you look at the rotation, when it comes to DeMond, you said it on the Roll podcast a while ago. We missed him for the past two seasons. We needed that arm. That was at least a 15-game winner that we could have used in the playoff run, and we didn't have him. Having him available keeps the pressure off, like Luis Severino. You know, instead of forcing him back, you know, we got Herman. Instead of, you know, Gerrit Cole doesn't have all that pressure, even though he definitely has pressure to the championship, to his childhood team. But I feel like he's right now. I know they lost Luke Voit. That was a really big bat. I feel like right now, though, it's better to lose him now than to lose midway through the season, and, you know, having him, you know, get back during the end of the season and him having some rust. Right now is the prime position for the Yankees to take place, because the division that they're in is shambles. The Red Sox, like I said, they're not at 100%. Orioles, the Orioles. Blue Jays, they're iffy. The Yankees right now, it's their turn, their time to win right now.
Nonetheless, guys, I'm happy. Baseball tomorrow. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Yeah. But yeah, you know, make sure you guys check us out on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. We're a Clover Crest Media original. Make sure you check us out on CMG Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, on YouTube. Don't matter. Anywhere you can listen to something, you can find us. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Pride and Sander. See you guys next time.